Welcome to Kill Team Casuals, a podcast all about Kill Team, filmed in three different time zones by three different gents. Enjoy.
Well, 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 the Kill Team Casuals still get to be plural. There's two of us. There may be a Russ at some point, but at the moment, midnight clad, I am joined by Ben from Battle Brothers Tabletop. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, it's me. Thank you for having me, my good friend. Yeah, just the two of us.
Just the two.
As it should be.
Oh, well.
Yeah, just the two of us. Yep.
It's and, been said. As people have spoken.
Yep, two is better than three. That's what they've always said. But how you doing, man? What's been going on? What's on the hobby table? How you hanging?
Yeah, it's been a busy hobby table, and I'm excited because obviously we had our emergency record last week for the balanced data slates. So that's got me very, very excited to see what this does with all the crazy Kill Team stuff. And on the painting table, though, sadly, we were just talking about this in the green room, is actually just a lot of big boy 40K stuff as I'm getting a little tournament prep list going, like a real traitor. Yeah, naughty boy.
Shame.
Naughty.
Shame on you.
So lots of Space Marines getting painted. Look, technically speaking, they could be used in a Kill Team. But not
That's true.
Technically right now. Just quickly though, a big hello to the chat, Samoan Matt. We've got Thomas.
Ooh, Samoan Matt.
Deep Fatty, legends in
Deep
the chat.
Deep Fatty, man.
It's always great
Six,
to see.
Six Night of Paradise, Thomas. Tomas, that is one of our Florida boys, one of our best. What up, dude?
Friends of the show, he's always welcome.
And he is, Tomas is to touch on what we'll be talking about tonight. Lowbrow Tyler, what up, my man? We'll be touching on the Night Lords and Mandrakes.
Yeah,
I know in 2 weeks or so, a week or two, the rules will all release, but like, we can't wait. We're just eager.
No,
so we're going to talk about it.
We would have done an emergency pod to talk about that, but then the balanced data slate kind of like bumped it and we just didn't have time to talk about both. So just quickly, what's on your hobby table, mate? Anything exciting going on yours?
I tell you what is on my gosh darn hobby table right now.
Gee,
it's a bunch of Night Lords. It's a bunch of dang Night Lords. I built them up the night that they were announced months ago. Feels like a different lifetime.
I scrubbed, hurried, and
put them all together. I really like how they came out. But I was like, I guess we'll probably have 6 months to. So they just sort of like sat on my shelf. So we hadn't heard anything. And now I'm feverishly painting them. Because, I'm so, like, spoiler alert for what we're going to be talking about on this pod. I'm so psyched about them. I'm going to have to choose because I was locked into higher tech this year.
Mm.
I'm going to have to pick a lane because I don't like jumping around. I like picking a lane and staying with it. And, man, Night Lords feel real good, let me tell you. And
I like Deep Fatty's explanation. Night Lords equals 6 Shrive Talons. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a big, like, dude.
Man, I'm so pumped. So yeah, so Night Lords getting them ready, and I'm excited to chat about them because I'm so hyped.
Well, let's not muck around. What I've done is I've just basically, it was the bat rep, if you didn't know, on Warhammer TV, where the guys played through both teams, Mandrakes versus Night Lords.
Yep.
So we've screenshots of screenshots with all the rules we got to see in action. And I guess we'll just walk it through, and Ben, you can just tell us your hype level on each one, and we can have a bit of a feel as to how we think they'll play out once they're in action. So let's jump into the Night Lords because I have a few people in the chat pretty excited for this as well. There we go. So the big rule here, it's the team rule in Midnight Clad. So this is obviously the team rule. When determining if a friendly Nemesis Claw operative is in an enemy operative's line of sight, that friendly operative is obscured if all of the following are true. It has a conceal order, it's within triangle of heavy or light terrain, and or any part of its base is underneath a vantage point, and it's more than pentagon from an enemy operative. So, yeah. Oh, that it's visible to. Apologies. So,
yeah
I tell so, you what.
This, so at first, the first time I saw it, kind of blew my mind. I went crazy. Now, if you look at it, again, all of this, just to front load everything we're about to talk about, we are just reacting to what has been shown in the
Well, we've seen the Batman from Warhammer TV.
Right, yeah. So we are just sort of reacting, just like any layman would be, we're reacting. But so, like, it has a conceal order and is within an inch of heavy or light terrain and is, you know, 6 inches away from operative. Pretty good, right? But, like, Vantage can turn it off, I think, as it's written right now, because if you have a conceal order, but if you're on a vantage point, that you're treated as if you have an engage order, right? So,
very
like,
true.
I think it's not as good as what it sounds like right off the bat.
Yeah.
But, like, I also think it might, maybe it'll get tweaked. Like, who knows? Like, is that the intent? But, like, the guys in the Nemesis Claw chat over in Command Point were talking about it. Like, yeah, it's because Vantage turns it off, it's maybe not that good.
Mm.
And even if this is all it ever is, I think it's fine because it's not that hard to keep your guys from getting shot outside of facing down Pathfinders with a bunch of marker lights. You know what I mean? So I think it's fine because of what we're going to get into. Like, all their other abilities employees are just kind of crazy. Like, what do you think? What do you think about this, Reese?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this is a great base rule for a team, especially when it's an elite team. You've got six operatives. So anything that's helping to keep you guys alive, anything that's helped minimizing heavy weapons being able to line them up, I think it's a good start point. I think, yeah, you might see some tweaks in the near future, but I think the main meats of what makes this team look good is in their ploys. So many of their ploys seem so powerful, and a bit like what we've seen with other teams like Blooded and all that, they've also got great stuff baked into each operative. Each operative, as we probably suspect a little bit, is really cool, has like really cool abilities and rules. So let's jump ahead and look at, I don't know what the order these slides were in. That probably alphabetical, but maybe not.
We'll just go into it. Yeah. And like, cool rule, right? This is great to have. Like,
yeah,
even though Vantage will, even like as it's written, like Vantage will take it out. Like, man, Legionaries don't have this. So already good start. You know what
exactly
I mean? Like,
right.
We're already off to a good start.
And I
like,
think
what I think a common a theme that we're going to see throughout all this is this team feels like an elite team. And you know I love my elites. You know, I know you have been liking elites recently as well.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a team, an elite team, that has really evolved with this addition of Kill Team.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Legionaries, Intercession feel a little bit like old Kill Team. You know, like, Legionaries, they don't have any tricks. They're pretty honest. They don't have a ton of tech going on aside from just kill everything.
Yes.
This team has so much tech for an elite team. And like Phobos has tech, but this is like new tech. This is like brand new technology, like that, you know, forbidden technology that we're about to see. So I'm just so hyped for it.
That's a good way to put it too. It is that thing. It's that evolution that this team is. Legionnaires were really good and they were great when they came out for the game. But now we've seen the games evolve. We're added things in ITD.
Yeah.
We're now Beta Decima. That's it. This is Legionaries updated, if you will.
Plus, yeah.
Plus.
And I think Legionaries, by the way, I think they're still good, but I'll shut up so we can get going here.
All right, first slide. So this is an ability. So this is the guy who's got the doof stick or the banner with the dead space marine on it. And I think this is already one of our favorites that we've seen. So it's a psychic action, disconcerting mimicry for 1 AP. You can select one enemy operative within Pentagon of this operative, and then you can do one of the following. You can subtract one from its APL, you can change its order, or perform a free dash action with it. So you basically get to move them wherever
Dude.
You want. Can't
Dude,
do it
you
with
know,
engagement.
You know what this reminds me of? Is we hear rumors of like, or not rumors, like what they said is the Patriarch can mind control.
Mm.
I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh, is this sort of similar to how the Patriarch is going to work?
Mind control.
You know,
light,
when you look at 100%. What this can do. Yeah. And so you know, this is just insane. Boy, in true casual fashion, we are jumping all over the place. Not with ploys, but just with random abilities. Let's just jump
just throw
in.
Throw it in.
And
what so, what yeah, are just pictures in? I don't know.
It's such true in true casual fashion. But yeah, so this is the guy with a dead guy on a stick. And this is just insane. Like, man, you move on to a point, subtract an APL from an intercessor. Now it's your point or legionary,
yeah.
Right? Or somebody is just out in the open. Boom, you move within six, flip its order. So then your plasma gunner can pop up and take a shot that it would never have been able to take before. Or make somebody dash. Think about this. Or just straight up dashing off of an objective and into the open to be shot. Like,
that's it.
This is nutty. It's insane. And this guy's bolt pistol, by the way, for some reason hits on twos. I don't know if you saw that in the bat rep. his bolt pistol hits on twos. Like, I don't know if that's a mistake, but
we'll take it.
It's awesome. We'll take it. Yeah. So this is crazy. This guy is going to be a monster. Such a like valuable piece of tech. It's just insane.
And
what
for one, one AP, a three APL operative, obviously, as all Space Marines are, that's it. So move up, make someone dash out, and as you said, shoot with a bolt pistol that hits on twos. For a lot of operatives, obviously not as quite as scary for an elite, but that's probably killing a guards, and that's killing a key unit piece for a lot of teams, or at least getting them down to wounded. And even subtract one from its APL could be huge. As you said, flipping objectives, but even for, again, a big powerhouse unit, think Galapox with their Hulks, you know? Next turn, you've just made
that. Yeah, dude. Oh, my gosh.
And that's because that's the best thing to do against Galapox is, take away AP from their big boys. Just another fantastic way to do it. So, I'm excited about this operative.
Yeah, like the range of it here is six inches, but realistically, like you said, a 3 APL operative, that's more like a 15-inch threat range on this, right? Like anybody within 15 inches of this guy is in danger. And if you note, select one enemy operative within six, not one visible operative.
Just
you can be on the other side of an Octarius wall, like, and still get this off. So this is huge.
I can't imagine the Space Marine on the stick being held up over the terrain. Hey, buddy, come over here. I want to chat to you.
it's buck wild that they get this. I'm here for it. It's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Next one. Now we've got something.
What's it going to be?
CP. It's Nightmare Manifest. One CP. So until the end of the turning point, friendly Nemesis Claw operatives can perform two fight actions during their activation or two shoot actions during their activation if a bolt weapon is selected for at least one of those shooting attacks.
Yeah. So this to me is, again, one of these, it's so simple, but it's a huge evolution in that now you don't have to choose whether you want to shoot twice or fight twice. You spend one CP and you get access to both.
Yeah.
I hope that this is something that we see coming for all elite teams in the future. Because like you're a freaking space marine. Yeah. You shouldn't have to choose which one you can do. And so this just opens up, like, it doesn't telegraph things quite as much as well. Like, you know, if you put up shooting twice, like, okay, watch out for that heavy bolter. But if you put up this one, you're not telegraphing as much. Yeah. It is a just huge move forward and a massive quality of life improvement, in my opinion.
Yeah, that, exactly right. It's simplifying and a bit what you were talking about before, that evolution of the rules writing as well, as I think now the rules writers have probably learned experience in the past with getting those things not quite right with the shoot twice or fight twice, and not telegraphing is probably the best part of a tactics thing, is you don't want to be going, I'm doing this, and your opponent goes, well, you're locked into doing X, Y, Z. This gives you lots of flex, which I really, really like.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is like the least cool thing they have, and it's still awesome.
Yeah. At least they gave it a cool name. But yeah, it's pretty. We've seen it. We've seen this. Now we're going to.
Let me just touch on that.
Yeah.
All the names are so cool. Nightmare Manifest, Vox Screen, Prescience. We have come for you.
Like, yes.
You have to read it all in the voice of the guy who reads the book. So it's like, we have come for you. You know, it's like, yeah, so good.
That slightly Romanian accent.
Yeah. So good.
Prescience we have here. So as you just mentioned, so once in each strategy phase, when it's your turn to use a strategic player pass, you can use this ability. You do so, add D3 Prescience tokens to your pool. Your Prescience tokens are spent on abilities and unique actions on this data card, but you cannot spend them if it's operatives not in the kill zone. So this is basically giving your on your leader operative, and it's letting you get things like you can spend one just to get a CP. Fantastic.
Yep, which you'll probably always do.
Yep, you can take attacks away from your opponents. So take away some of their attack dice. So there's a whole bunch. I don't think we've seen.
Yeah, it's just a scratch. Like, it is just a scratch. You ignore your. Yeah, it's like so good, man. It's awesome.
And this is, I said, I'm pretty sure this is locked to the leader operative as well, isn't it? The what's he called?
Yes.
He's got a cool name too.
The visionary, so if you've read, if you have read the Night Lord's books, he is just Talos. Like, this guy is Talos, which is so cool.
Former apothecary, now leader of a warband.
Yeah, like so good with all these visions and stuff. And I have it all saved here. Hold on. Yeah, so one of the things you can do is one premonition, psychic action, discard one of your prescience tokens to gain one CP. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the other one where it's like just a scratch situation.
Yes.
And the other one, again, I'm in true casuals fashion again. Like, I'm just getting home from work. We're like rolling the camera. The other one is you can skip an activation.
Yeah,
you spend one CP and you skip an activation, which into other elite teams can be awesome. Like, mm-hmm. when it is important, it will be so incredibly important. So great. It's awesome to have it on this guy. So you want to keep your leader alive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, again, like all elite teams, you don't want to lose guys, but this guy especially, again, he's a badass space marine, but then this utility that he gets and to make everything around him better is very cool. All right, yep. Awesome. Move on up. This one here is an interesting one. This is the operative. I can't remember any of the names, but this is an action from an operative poison objective. So for one AP, they can select one objective marker this operative controls that doesn't have a Terra Chem token. It gains one of your Terra Chem tokens. The first time an enemy operative without a Terra Chem token moves within circle of that objective marker, it suffers D3 mortal wounds and gains the token until the end of the battle. So this is a great little bit of, I guess, board control within an elite team as well. So a bit, in some ways, a super effective mine without the explosion. It just does wounds straight up.
Yeah, and the Terra Chem, each time this operative fights in combat or makes a shooting attack with this weapon, and the resolve successful hit step of that combat or shooting attack, the first time you resolve a critical hit, must be a strike in combat, the enemy operative gains one of your Terra Chem tokens. Nope, that's the wrong thing that I just read out loud. But I think it does like D3 mortals every turn or something like that as well, as long as it has a token. I think
it works very similar to like a lot of the other poison stuff we've seen, like Hand of
like
the
Inferno Archon stuff. Yeah,
but Inferno. That, yeah. It's exact end of the activation. If they've got a token, they're taking more wounds.
Yeah.
I love that. That was the best part. It was like you read all of that out, and then you're like, "This is not it."
No, this is the wrong one. Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. What else we got? Yeah.
Flying by the seat of the pants, but that's pretty cool. I mean, that's again just another great. As you said, it's a great tech piece. Another part to this team that sets them apart from feeling like just another Legionaries team. Yeah. It's
reminds me a lot of the Shrive Talon. Yeah.
Definitely. All right, next up, again, this is straight out of the book, Prey Sight, which would, if you've read the Night Lord Prey books, Sight. You know this.
So this is a strategic ploy, so one CP. And just think about this. Go with me. My fantasy for this team is a Melta Gunter. Gunter. He's a Melta Gunter. Yeah. My Melta Gunter, his name is Gunther, yeah. But so you have a Melta Gunter with Prey Sight online, right? So until the end of the turning point, when determining line of sight for each friendly Nemesis Claw operative, enemy operatives within six of it are treated as having an engage order unless they are in cover from heavy terrain. So basically, this is like indirect, like a budget indirect, right? Yeah. So heavy cover doesn't do it, but like, what is that? Is that a guardsman 5 inches away behind a barricade? Not today. And you just shoot a hole through it with your Melta. So this is just insane. Like, and again, it's not even like the best ploys they have, but it's so good, like just incredible.
I think that's it. So if you looked at what these guys have got, and you compare some of to bring up the Blooded, because Russ isn't here, so we'll bring them up just to make him feel a part of it. But we always talk about their tack ploys and strategic ploys just not feeling part of it, not feeling to add to the team. Even these guys' ploys that we think are just like okay in context would be fantastic ploys on a lot of other teams.
Gosh.
Would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all right.
This is so good.
Move on from Prey Sight. Oh, there's the Terra Chem. I found it. Here's the Terra Chem thing. So at the end of the phase, we were correct. D3 mortal wound.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's sweet. Even this operator's been incapacitated.
That's
weird.
An interesting
so what else
point.
We got?
What does that, is that yeah, like for like Necrons or like things that potentially reanimate?
Oh, interesting. Maybe.
That's
who knows?
Thing I'm thinking, because that's
maybe.
That's,
here's what it is. I bet they have a here's me. This is a wild stab in the dark. Mm-hmm. That seems to me like maybe it's related to their TAC ops. Maybe they have a faction TAC op that's built around how, you know, how like they have the Grizzly Butcher, which is like sort of leaning into the butcher thing.
100%.
I bet this might tie into their tack up somehow. That's the only way that line makes sense to me.
I think you're spot on. All right. There it is. Well done, Terracam.
Put money on it right now. We'll find out. We'll find out in a few weeks. I'm putting money on it.
We know as much as you do. In some cases, probably less.
Absolutely less.
Vox.
Reese, why don't you read this? Yeah, give it to us. This is the best.
This is Vox Scream. So one CP. Use this tactical ploy when your opponent would activate an operative. Your opponent cannot activate that operative in this activation. If there are no other enemy operatives to be active, this has no effect. So you can't do it when it's their last operative. This tactical ploy costs one additional.
Skip their activation.
Yeah. This tactical ploy costs one additional command point per time you use it. So this is actually one of the first times or few times we've seen this coming into effect of the, we know this is so good, so it gets more expensive. But
yeah, which is awesome.
It's actually, so one, I really like that in the game because I think that's just smart for not letting people cheese things. And also, you're probably only going to want to use it twice a game. So one CP, then two CP is still very, very achievable.
And synergizes well with your leader, the visionary, who can get you extra CP.
Take us through
go
it.
Sorry, you got something to say?
No, I was going to say, take us through it.
So imagine with me, put yourself in a situation. It's turn two. You have moved up your enemy operatives. I think this is how it works, right? I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, it's Russ's fault. You move your operatives. You roll initiative. You lose initiative. Guess what? All right, time for them to activate their Melta Gunner. For the cost of one CP, no, they can't. Now you got to go with somebody else, right? So, like, it just shuts down. Like, this is just insane, man. Like,
yeah.
If Legionaries had this, oh my God, right? So, like, again, we're talking about a team that has evolved with the addition. This is what all elites need. Stuff like this to help you not just get totally butt blasted at the wrong time. Like, this is exactly what they need. So this is huge. Like, this is maybe the strongest thing that they have, like ability or like, you know, CP ability, like ploy. It's just insane. Like, cannot be understated how strong this is. This is very good. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of the gate and this gets bumped up to like 2 CP or something. Yeah. I wouldn't even be shocked. Like a flat 2, I wouldn't be shocked.
Because that's such an interesting thing, as you said, especially at the start of turning point 2, which we all know is when stuff's about to get real. That first activation turning point 2 is so huge. But also, even at the, you know, imagine saving it, not using it turning point 3, but using it turning point 4 to be that, you know, it's the difference between them being able to get that last secondary, or as you said, lose initiative and just be able to knock some things out of sequence. So it nearly feels like you get that joint activation to take an objective or whatever.
Think about loot.
Yes.
Like, think about loot. Like, they're going to loot a point first activation for one CP. Like, boom. No, you're not. Actually, I'm going to come loot this point and then kill you. Like, that's God, it's so good.
That's it. It's not just the ability to potentially kill or save an operative. It's the ability to flip objectives in those situations. It wouldn't surprise me, again, crystal ball, how it got, as you said, if it doesn't change up to two CP to start with. It's powerful, but I dig it. It's very, again, Vox Scream. Sounds amazing. Sounds Night Lords. I'm on board.
Incredible, yeah.
Awesome. And now the most Night Lord of Night Lord things. We have come for you. One CP. This is an auto take, isn't it, every turn?
Except turn two. Yeah, it feels like turn two and three. Like, the bottom, to spare you the reading of it, during your activation, this is a strategic ploy, if the first action you perform is a charge, then you get D3 mortal wounds in the charge. So, like, your weapons are often 4-5, 4-6, something like that. So it basically means your first crit is on average, like, if it's a 4-5 weapon, really, like, your first crit is 4-7. So, like, you're just going to be one-tapping operatives, sometimes one-tapping 8-wound operatives, or just changing the breakpoints. Like, imagine you charge into another elite, and boom, they start off. They were 12 wounds, but guess what? Now they're at 9 wounds. Now all it takes is a hit and a crit to kill them. Like, this is just so strong. It's crazy. Like, it's wild. It changes all the breakpoints, which I love. And it's insane. This is a strategic ploy. So one CP for your whole team.
And it ties in really nicely. We were sort of obviously mentioned earlier about, like, their team rule. It's okay, the Midnight Clad. But all of a sudden, when you think now about how good you are going to be at getting your operatives up the board, taking as little damage as possible, and then turn two, we've come for you, charging. And he said, flipping those breakpoints, killing most operatives in a crit and a hit, if not, you know, guardsman equivalents in one crit. This is, yeah, you can do some real big work. You're changing their activations. I'm super excited / terrified to see this team on the board. I feel like out of the two teams, spoilers, I feel like these guys are the strongest out of the box by quite a bit.
Oof, man, it's tough because Mandrakes looks so good too.
I know. Man,
they look so strong as well. I'm looking at the time like, oh man, this might just be a Nightlords episode. But like the Mandrakes look so strong.
This is,
so
the, last
strong.
One. This is the last one for Nightlords.
Oh, this is the last one?
Keeping an eye on the clock. We got a solid 20 minutes here to get into Mandrakes.
Oh, we can do it. Yeah. and there's also there's some that I have highlighted here that I want to go over. There's Out of Darkness, which is really good. It's a tactical ploy in the scouting step. Someone gets to make a normal move up to 4 inches as though it had fly. So like some situations, like you could be, depending on what the board state is like, maybe even a turn one charge. Like if somebody really yeets themselves up, you know what I mean? So like just crazy stuff. And then also this one is just, we have to talk about this one. It's called Proclivity for Murder.
Oh, just
how cool is that? All these names are awesome. Yeah. And so it's a tactical ploy. And it's a better version of perpetual aggression. So like instead of like front loading, because with legionaries, you pay a CP for, you know, perpetual aggression. Your enemy knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This one, anybody on the board can fight twice. And then, right, if you have that ploy up and then proclivity for murder, if you incapacitate an enemy operative within its engagement range, that friendly operative can immediately perform a free charge action up to 3 inches or a free dash action, even if it has performed an action during that activation that prevents it from performing the charge or dash action. So, like, man, that's huge. So those double kills that we love so much, being able to chain lightning through people, like, it's just incredible. So that's also really good. There's just tons and tons of stuff going on. There's also the Black Hunt, which is a CP. It's a strategic ploy. And so if you are fighting an enemy that has less than its starting number of wounds, you get a reroll, which is awesome. So like there's just tons and tons and tons. They have the Grizzly Trophy. They have a piece of equipment called skin, like flayed skin, and it shuts off rerolls within 3 inches. So like it's just nutty, dude. Like this team is straight up nutty.
Yeah, I think that the thing, so actually, Jin of the Sheep just said a good too. A good player will be able to maximize the Night Lords better than Legionary, but they won't be OP. And I think that's probably one of the things I like about this team. They are a tech, they've got lots of stuff, but I still feel like they're accessible. Like, I feel like all their stuff, there's other teams, and Mandrakes is part of it. I think that's a little bit of what makes me worry for them a little bit, is a lot of their stuff is amazing, but it requires good synergies, a really good understanding of the game. So at the top tables, I might be wrong. Sure. That might be flipped, that Mandrakes are stronger. But I think for most people, the Night Lords will be that team you can just pick up and play and you can just go to work. They can do some good stuff.
Yeah, I think, to chime in on this, I don't know if they'll be OP, overpowered. I think they're going to be nutty strong, dude.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be nutty strong because elites have been largely held back. People struggle playing elites at high level play because if you get out activated, this team has the tools to deal with that. And so I think this team will be in easily the strongest elite team when they drop. And I think they will be just one of the stronger teams out there, period.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on and have a quick look at the Mandrakes. So the first thing we'll have a look at is their ability, again, like it's a team-wide thing, and this is so many of their rules circulate around this, and it's being within shadow. So an operative is within shadow if any of the following it is true. It's within triangle of a heavy part of a terrain feature, and that part is not lower than it, or any part of its base is underneath a vantage point, or it's within triangle of a shadow portal token, which we will get to as well, what that actually means. This is obviously their big mechanic, game mechanic, and a lot of the things play around this, and we'll sort of see that. So we'll jump into the first, the lucky dip rule of whatever comes up first.
Sure. Let's see.
What's it gonna be? So this is Soul Strike. Ooh. So this is the Mandrake operatives ranged weapons, basically. So Mandrake operatives have ranged weapons with the Soul Strike special rule. Each time a friendly operative makes a shooting attack with such a weapon, in the roll defense dice step of the shooting attack, successful saves are determined differently. Invulnerable saves cannot be used. Very big. Each result that is equal to or less than the target's APL is a successful save and is retained. Each result that is higher than the target's APL is discarded. Each retained result of a 1 is a critical save. So this is flipping what our armor saves super are fun. Or what we know. You've never thought you'd be cheering for 1s. That's what's going to be happening here.
Yeah, super fun. I think this is awesome. I love this. So, like, guardsmen are going to be taking more damage on average, right? Mm. Elites, it's still, you know, it's not as bad. But, like, man, this team, again, like, we're going to see the tools that they have, teleporting, I think they will be, like, insane. And this is awesome. This is super fun.
Yes, exactly. And actually, do you know, the Sheep just made a good point, too, as we'll take it through. I think these two teams will win or score points very differently. He made a great point. The Mandrakes are going to be the masters of maneuverability. Their ability to get all over the board, as you'll see with their rule, is really, really cool. Whereas the Legionaries are great at being a Legionary team. They can still score points really well, but they're going to monster their opponent. Whereas I think Mandrakes won't be quite as effective as killing. Still good at it, but not quite as strong. That's not going to be their modus operandi. The first ploy we're going to look at here, Blade in the Dark, it's 1 CP. Until the end of the turning point, friendly Mandrake operatives that have a conceal order can perform the charge if they start and or end that activation within shadow.
Gross.
Yeah.
So gross. So incredibly gross and awesome, right?
Yes.
I'm psyched on both of these teams. How awesome is that? Charging from conceal, ending up safe from being shot. Like, we've seen just how strong charging from conceal can be on commandos. Like, if your team never has to flip from engage to conceal,
yep,
it just makes you so much safer. This is awesome.
I think that that's such a great caveat too, or end the activation within shadow too. So
yeah,
that they said start is nice. What makes it really powerful is the fact that, oh, okay, yep, I was, now I can end there. I think that's really, yeah, really powerful. Do you know, actually, one thing I just want to quickly say before we move on, the thing that surprised me the most about this team watching the bat rep, I didn't think they were going to have as many unique operatives as they actually did. I thought they were going to have like a leader and one special operative from what you could see from the pictures. But most of the team is still actual special operatives. A little bit harder to tell them apart, which is not great.
Yes. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes. But I didn't feel like a bit how it felt with the Striking Scorpions team when they came out, that it was like everyone's the same kind of feel. There's, lot to find out. Next one, Gloaming Shroud.
Ooh.
And so 1 CP again.
What a weird! This is this screenshot has been sitting out in the sun for a while.
No, it was the shop window. That's until the end of the turning point. Each time a shooting attack is made against a friendly Mandrake operative within shadow, in the roll defense step of that attack before rolling defense dice, you can retain 1 as a successful normal save without rolling it. So this is obviously stacking with your regular cover saves as well.
Yeah, this is fine. Boring, but fine.
Yes, yeah. Works, plays into it, but again, another one, you see the key thing you have to learn, how to keep your operatives in shadow. That's how they stay alive. That's how they stay in the game.
Yep.
Haunting Focus. This was very cool. So once in each strategy phase, when it's your turn to use a strategic ploy or pass, you can use this ability instead. If you do so, select 1 enemy operative for this operative to focus on until the end of the turning point. When your opponent would activate that enemy operative, if this operative is ready, you can activate this operative first. So I won't read the rest. That doesn't matter
Gross.
Too much. But so, yeah,
Gross.
This is like, I know you're going to activate your leader or your gunner. This lets you, I guess, cut them off at the pass. And if you plan it correctly, it can be really damaging.
Dude, this is insane. Like, it's sort of similar. It's interesting to sort of put yourself in the design space of the different boxes. Like, you can tell that they are trying out something new with this box. At least to me, that's what it looks like from the outside.
Oh,
like,
100%.
And it's like, I love to see it, man. Like, I love what they're doing. I think it's awesome. And this is, who has this ability, by the way? Because this looks like an ability.
I believe this is the leader that has this.
Haunting Focus. Okay. Yep. That's awesome. It's so good. This is incredibly OP. Awesome. In a good way.
And it's interesting too that, like, as all jokes aside about it being a dark mirror, but there are some similarities between these teams. And it's, again, you're seeing two teams that have an ability to impact their opponent's activations. Excuse me, I had to hiccup there.
Totally.
Which is very interesting, as opposed to being you go, I go, you go, I go. We're getting back to that feeling of you go, and I hope I get to go. Hopefully not getting back to the level of Pathfinders where they got 900 goes first. At least now there's a structure in place that stops that happening.
Totally.
All right, moving on through. This is one CP, another one here. Inescapable, a nightmare. So until the end of the turning point, each time a friendly mandrake within shadow fights in combat or makes a shooting attack in the roll attack dice step of the combat or shooting attack, you can re-roll one of your attack dice. Again.
Great. Super boring, but yeah, great, right? Yeah. Like it's very usable. It gives everything balance, like boring, but awesome.
Yep. And again, works team-wide and synergizes really, really well with what we saw before, being able to charge from conceal. Yeah. Staying in shadow, you're already in shadow. So, again, playing the team and understanding that mechanic, these things just naturally synergize, which is really cool.
Yep, super sweet.
All right, Soul Harvest. So each time an operative is incapacitated as a result of this operative's part collector ability or Bale Blade, which includes as a result of the Reap critical rule, add one of your Soul Harvest tokens to your pool, or two if that enemy operative is a 3 APL operative. Each time friendly mandrake offer is activated, you can spend one of your Soul Harvest tokens to either add one to the operative's APL until the end of the battle is the big part there, or have it regain D6 lost wounds. You can spend your Soul Harvest tokens even if this operative has been incapacitated.
A permanent APL buff?
You better believe
what?
It.
What?
Yes.
What? And which operative has this?
This is the one that's got the big giant blade. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name, but it's got the, dude, the big two-handed glaive thing, which, mind you,
That is nutty.
Listen to the weapon, too. So, 4 attacks, hitting on 3s, damage 5-6. It is brutal, lethal 5-up, and reap 2.
What a... That might be like the most like abilities attached to a weapon I've ever heard. Like,
right?
This is insane. Like, you know, into elites, maybe not as big as a game changer, but like you're still probably going to win. If you can get the charge on someone who's 12 wounds, like reliably going to get the kill, right? Semi-reliably with a reroll. Yeah. Only 4 dice helps out a little bit. You might be able to live with 4. But man, like this is insane. And like you kill a space marine and get wounded, it's fine. Spend one, spend one to bump it with an extra APL. Next time, spend one to regain D6 lost wounds. Yep. This is nutty. Against like guard teams, this is going to be insane.
Yeah. So you can see that, especially against a guard team where your fingers crossed not losing this operative, you've got the ability to heal it up D6 wounds. But the ability to turn another operative to APL until the end. I wonder if, and maybe it's because it will be harder if they'll ever cap that. If it's like, can it be 2 operatives or, you know, will it always be, because that would be the other thing. If you get this guy on a streak, you know, and you've got like 2 or 3 other operatives at 2 or 3 APL, really changes the team.
Yep, this is insane. Yeah, so insane. Like, it blow your mind insane. This team is going to be wild.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that's the thing that I think is exciting here is imagine a bit like, reminds me a bit of Chaos Cults, that the team evolves as the game goes on. They get better and power up, which is really cool. All right, Shadow Passage. So this is an action point. If this operative is within Shadow, perform a free normal move action with it. Instead of moving, remove it from the kill zone and send it back up. Again, within shadow, but not within engagement range or line of sight of enemy operatives, and it can't make shooting attacks until its next turn. So this is nearly the grot level of maneuverability that we're
even
seeing.
More because you don't have to see it. Even more so,
yeah.
Like, what is the And this is on a particular, this is on the Shadow Cloak guy. Who's this on?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Old Batman, Batcloak.
Yeah. Ooh, Batcloak is good. I think this team is the best Skaven conversion team potential we've ever had because of this.
Like, yes.
Jumping into like the little gnaw holes and stuff.
Russ might turn up. Be careful.
This is so insane. Like, or is it a tactical? Norley says this is a tactical play.
It says one.
I don't know.
It says one AP. Maybe it is. Maybe I've got that wrong.
Who knows? I am more knowledgeable about the Night Lords right now.
Yes.
But like, this is just insane. Like, these are two. I'm so pumped. I've never been excited for a box like I've been excited for this one. I was going to split a box with somebody, but then I realized the cards were going to be in for both teams.
Oh, yeah.
And I just got to have everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say I've got a good friend who's very excited for the Mandrakes, but after reading these rules, I just don't think I want to hand them to him because I don't want to have to go up fight against them.
Yeah, dude. They seem awesome.
Oh, no, there we go. It is an action. I thought this was Shadow Passage. Was it the action? There you go. Thank you, Tomas Sigismund.
Tomas is super hyped on the Mandrakes right now. Yeah.
And I mean, we saw this is probably one of the good, I'm always a bit critical at times of the Warhammer Plus bat reps, only because, you know, they're a bat rep that is just designed to show off the new things, you know. So if you're wanting to see a competitive or a cool game, you're definitely watching the wrong thing, watching them. But in terms of them doing a fantastic job of showing up, they use this really, really well. It said, you know, moved half their team from one side of the board to the other, was scoring them, you know, their attack ops and all that stuff. And there was nothing the Night Lords player could do.
It's just like, you look at like the movement based stuff, like, you know, secure vantage and courier, all these things, like the recon specifically, like just think about it. Like, oh man, I need to score a courier, but man, too bad I'm on the other side of the board. It's like, like boom, there we go, scored it. And like in this late game, it's like boom, done. Or I think I'm just gonna go loot your home point so I can win this game. Like, can you imagine, dude? Like, gosh. And then there's Tomas has just said, I was gonna say it too. The shadow guy can make portals that other guys can go through.
That's correct. So like, yeah.
Like unparalleled movement. Like, this is just nutty. Pure nut. I feel like I'm living in crazy town. This is so strong.
Nuts everywhere, guys. Nuts everywhere. Moving on. All right. Here we go. So this is just another a team ability. Umbral entities. So each friendly Mandrake operative has a 5+ invul. If it's within shadow, though, it has a 4+ invul. So again.
Man, a 4+ invul is so good. That's like jumping from a 5+ to a 4+ is just like going from a 6+ feeling of pain to a 5+ feeling of pain is huge. Going from a 5+ invuln to a 4+ invuln is just nutty. It's like, now who knows what's going to happen? You get shot with a plasma gun. It's like, you know, with a 5+, it's like, man, it's probably not going to live. With a 4+, who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. Nobody does. Only the dice gods on a 4+, you know,
and there's no way to take it away. You know, like it's so often with cover lines, you know, a bit of maneuverability or placement, you can take it away, you can change it. But there's nothing that interacts with in shadow that any other team has to change it. Like, you know, you can't go, oh, well, because I've made you not obscured, I'm taking you back to a 4+ invul. That's not how it works. It's the rule is in shadows, which is a unique thing just to these guys. So yeah, you're just going to have to deal. And most players will be very good at keeping it at a 4+ invul for most of the game.
Yeah. You'll be in shadow. Yeah. Until you have to leave. Yeah. This is awesome.
So yeah, I mean, again, this is a team that I think their tech ceiling is a little bit higher because they are a bit squishier than the Marines. They're not innately a 3 APL. They can get there, but they're not innately.
That's nutty, dude. Mm. Where you just send that guy out to go kill and like, man, that's wild. That's nutty.
So
I keep saying it, but it's just wild.
Yeah. This is the box set. I definitely think that I've been the most hyped for both teams, like Scout Striking Scorpions. Totally. I was like, meh. Even the last few before that, I was like, oh yeah, they're all okay. I'm excited. But this is two teams that I think are really going to shake up what Kill Team's doing at the moment. And we sort of talked that we were a bit worried that they were maybe phoning it in at the end of the edition.
Yeah.
Definitely not looking.
Seems like they're cranking it up to 11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It seems like they're just going for it. I love it. I'd love to see it. I'm here for it.
So, yeah, absolutely huge. I'm pumped. And to actually now know when it's coming out is the other big news of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-orders go up this weekend on Saturday. So, very excited. We'll actually have our grubby mitts on it. And then maybe even a bit of a roadmap. We can get excited for the next two teams as well in the Cultists and the Jaegers.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the pretty psyched. Like I'm very excited for, you know, this last season of Kill Team as we know it.
Yeah.
I think it is. Again, GW sometimes will do that where an edition is phasing out, and so they're saving the big exciting things for next edition. But feels like they are giving us some just really cool things.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like
my big concern was this was going to be these last few teams were going to be a bit of a phone in. We sort of said, oh, geez, it's just an upgrade sprue for some of the models. We're seeing that a little bit, but it seems like they've really put some work into the rules to make these guys interesting. And so this may even be, I think someone mentioned in the chat earlier, maybe a bit of a test for the next edition or a taste of the type of rules we'll see in the next edition or what they're trying to bring.
That'd be awesome, dude. I would love that. Yeah. It definitely feels like the design space has changed a little bit, like with some of these abilities. It's all so new. Like, man, I'm awesome. Laser Skeleton says in the chat, so would all these teams get compendium in a new edition? Great Warhammer verb. I love that compendium. That's great. Who knows, man? Like, that's the thing. we just don't know. Like the next edition, who knows? Like, will it be a like? I really love the game. I think it's in a great compendify. Yeah. It's also good. I think it's in a great place. Maybe it's just some updated rules, some inherent like rebalance, which is what Warhammer always does.
Mm.
I would love like what they did with Warhammer 30K and then 40K, and now with Sigmar, they're talking a lot about reactions. So it seems like GW is moving towards that reaction, as in like, man, there's when it's not your turn, you still have some agency to do some things.
You're
to
engaged
react
in the game.
Yeah, and so like, which Kill Team is great about that, anyways. But hoping for more like engagement when it comes to reacting and stuff like that. So
yeah.
we really don't know anything. We're all just sort of, you know, hoping in the dark here. But this last data slate and this upcoming box and the next box, like it's going to it has given me great hope because the game is such a better game than last edition.
Yes.
Which I love, by the way, but last edition was janky. This edition is just such a tight game. They have a good, they have a lot that works. So
yeah.
I can't imagine they would throw away all the good that they already have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry if you're worried about it, like becoming a bad game. In my opinion, that's probably an irrational fear.
Yes, I think the feedback from the community, from it as a competitive game, as a casual game, I think has been hugely positive. So there's no onus on GW to have to tear it down to start again, which maybe they felt a little bit with the previous edition. This one, I said, I think it'll just be maybe a few of those rules that maybe haven't been as accessible may get a bit of a tweak. We've talked about line of sight and, you know, things up on vantage points and interactions with things below. Maybe it's just a tightening and sweetening of some of those things that get a little bit harder or a bit murky. But overall, no, it's a great game. We're very lucky. It's a good game in a fantastic spot. And now, fingers crossed, these releases are a little bit more back on track. I think it was...
Yeah.
Diomedes, sorry if I pronounced that wrong. He was saying, is it just speculation? It is still speculation in terms of when it's happening, but rumors are suggesting that it is going to maybe only be the three boxes maybe, or maybe four. You know, we don't know if it's going to be full four.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to be three, and we don't know.
And then like the Warhammer, like typical like life cycle of a game is typically 3 years. And so we're coming up on like season three of this game. And like the rumor has been going on for a while that, you know, we're on the cusp, like this season will be the last of this edition. And so that like the rumors have been going on for a while. So, and that with like Warhammer stuff typically goes for 3 years. That, you know, is just typically how it works. So, I you know, everybody sort of assumes that a new edition is on the horizon at some point.
That's it. Well, we're going to have to call it there today, guys. We're on a little bit of a tighter schedule today. Thank you, as always, to the legends in the chat. We really love you guys throwing your thoughts in and getting involved. It's
great. Oh, the best.
A lot of hype in the chat today as well, which was amazing for both teams. So thank you, guys, for joining. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you, as always, Midnight Clad Ben from Battle Brothers Tabletop.
Oh, that's me. I have come for you. shout out to Laser Skeleton, who says sometimes I have to read things like 5 times to get what it actually means. I just want to say that I stand in solidarity with you. I am in the same way. Yes. I have to read things like 5-6 times. Like, what is happening here? Like, how does this interaction work? So I just want to say that I see you. You are seen. And I feel your pain. And I'm passing it over to my friend over here in shadow, because he's on the underside of the world. Reese from Threes to Wound.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks if you're listening on the podcast. Thanks if you're supporting us as a Patreon as well. We love and appreciate
the
all
best.
Of you. We love you guys hanging out and listening to us with our beautiful waffle nonsense that we talk about. We'll see you next week, maybe with a third member. Maybe Russ will be out of his pickled egg haze and he'll be back. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe he'll show up. Maybe he'll turn up for something for once in his life.
Someone in the chat did say it was because he didn't want to read and learn new rules, so that was why he wasn't here. Very, very accurate.
That tracks. That tracks, yeah.
All right, till next time. See you guys.